to you in my
sorry, I'm just so thinking the books. So this morning we're going to talk about salt and light. But we're going to talk about salt first, because it is an amazing substance. Nice bit of salt there, nice bit of salt there. And salt does all sorts of things. It's really useful. So can you tell me what you can use salt for? And you really have to shout out, because I'm going through one of my multiple stages of I can only hear the past selective hearing.
So what's salt used for?
Seasoning.
We've got over again.
Preserving.
Cooking. Yeah. Anything else salt used?
Healing. Brilliant.
So what's salt used for? Fertilizer stuff. I don't understand how that works. Well, there we go. Somebody will have to explain that to me another time.
Well, I guess it's sort of salt like preserving everything else. It just breaks down some of the...
Yeah,
there's nasty little bits in it.
Yeah.
And if you were a worm, or a grub, would you really want to be in the salt going, no, salt again. So let's start with, it heals. So how does salt heal?
Cleanses wounds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kills
infections.
Salt water. Yeah, mouthwash. Brilliant. If you have got a sore throat, or you've had problems with your teeth, like abscess or removed, salt water is brilliant for that. If you don't swallow it, you just spit it out as quick as you can. But it does heal, and it does make a difference. It just cleanses.
Interestingly enough, when I was having all my dental work recently, thank you. It's a bigger R than that, it's a lot of dental work. Thank you. They told me to use salted water and not any fancy mouthwashes or anything. There is actually salted water that I should use to cleanse my mouth with after the operations and things. So that was something as simple as that. Look how, so I've put salt into there. I'm not going to drink it, so. Put salt into there. And you see it all dissolving. So the salt goes into the water and it dissolves in the water.
It really is amazing stuff for that, because talking about teeth, I must have had my saga of teeth. But for years, I have had a sort of abscess that kept growing in the root of the tooth there. And my dentist just didn't want to touch it for years. And all he said, salt water, wonderful. Cures it for 6 weeks, brilliant. So, really useful. It heals. And sometimes, it's true of us, isn't it? We need that healing touch of Jesus in our life. And it might not always be physical healing. It might be just something that we just sort of feel is not quite in balance with us. But the salt, Jesus' love, is there, changing us, making us more like Him. Should we go for flavours?
Yes.
No. You're dying for this.
Right. Now, does anybody like crisps down here in the corner? Anybody like crisps? You do, my love. Right.
Do you realise something? He always shares with us the things he's not allowed to eat anymore. But it comes back to the flavouring, the taste in cooking, you know, that little bit of salt in the water as you cook your potatoes and your greens. And what would chips be without salt on them?
What does that taste of? There we go. Paul, what does that taste of?
My grandfather's salt. It's not salt.
No, that's right. Here we go, Jenny, have one of those, and then I want the red bow. Right, so taste the... No, that's the red bow one first. What's that one taste of? Okay, go on then, Will. Take it, crisp on the blue bow. Right, eat it. What's it taste of? Yeah, what's that one taste of? Salt, right. Go on, there we go. What's that one taste of? This one. Soft, yeah. Well, this, in the blue bowl, we have absolutely plain crisps. Not flavoured at all.
But isn't it interesting that one or two people thought it might have a flavour?
Yeah.
Apart from crisps.
Yeah. Yeah, Wilf would say just potato, that's great. In the red one, plain crisps, what we call plain crisps, and ready salted.
Is that no lunch now? Let's have a crisp. Shall we come back in 10 minutes' time? If we're growing with him, getting to know him, through coming to worship, through our prayer, through reading the Bible, that is preserving his saltiness, his love in our life. I don't know about you, but I was reflecting this morning, I was partly doing a phone call that late last night, I suddenly realised that actually, when I can't cope with this person who phones me, there's nobody here, the times I really struggle are the times when I know for some reason I haven't spent time with God that day, whether it's through prayer or not. And interesting enough, if for some reason I haven't prayed with God or spent time with him for a few days, it also spins over into my relationship with others. You know, it's not the saltiness it should be. So actually, it's about being rooted through prayer, through worship, with God day by day, to allow his saltiness to come through us. As we sort of said, salt is really positive. But as John discovered, you can misuse it. But how many of you have been to the Dead Sea? How many went floating on the Dead Sea? Did you go anywhere?
No.
You just stayed there, didn't you? Was there any life in the Dead Sea?
No.
Because that amount of salt actually killed everything. And you know, you can binge on something if you like. Sounds really strange saying this. But actually, that being saltiness is not about just sitting constantly at home doing nothing. It's about that bit of that you're putting in your prayer, praying for others. It's about living out your faith so that others see the saltiness in you.
Yeah, and and from your actions as well, if we go back to the salt going into the cup, and the salt dissolves, taking Jesus into our lives. Jesus comes into our lives. We let him into our lives. He comes into our lives. We let him be part of our lives. And it all dissolves into it. So it just becomes part of us. And we're then to be the salt for others, rubbing along others, encouraging others and being there for others in order to be the salt for them as well.
So what comes after salt?
Light.
Light.
A song.
Right.
Yes.
About light.
About light. A song about light. So we're now going to stay seated and sing "This Little Light of Mine." Now, make sure you get all the consonants out. Is it who's on? Who's my picking? So we
stay seated and we'll sing.
Mine, I'm going to let it shine. This morning, I took the dog for a walk early in the morning. It was about 6:45. And going out that this morning, the moon at that point was amazing. It's a full moon, and it just absolutely like a ball of silver in the sky. And although it was still dark, and the sun was just beginning to come up, and then to have a lot of lovely sunrise that we had there, with the pinks and the reds coming up in the sky, it was never ever really dark, because it wasn't dark because you had that ball of silver in the sky, which was the moon. And I wonder, living where we live with lots of street lights and everything, we never really experienced dark. For a while, Shona and I lived in a village in the Cotswolds, which didn't have street lighting. When we first moved there, we thought to ourselves, blimey, can't see a thing. Fortunately, we didn't have a black light at the time, so we wasn't going to see anything. But actually, you got more and more used to it the longer that you lived there. And there would be lights on in people's houses and things like that. And if it was a clear night, you would have the moon and you would have the stars. So it was never actually totally darkness. I don't think I've ever experienced total darkness. But I know somebody here who has. David, would you like to just come up for a second, please? David, why have you experienced, how have you experienced total darkness?
The Mended Hills over there are full of little caves, big caves, and enormous caves. There's one up there which is probably bigger than this church. So we go down there. Last time I went down there was about 3 or 4 years ago with my grandson, with Sam, with the Mended Adventures at Sanford. We went to a cave in Barrington Coombe called Goat Church Cavern. They take you down there. And as always, they said, right, turn your lights out. And your eyes don't get accustomed to it. It is black. Totally, totally black. Forever.
And how do people react to being in total blackness? Because I'm not sure how I would react to it, to be honest.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
Because you think your eyes get used to it, but they don't.
But they can't, because
there's
no light.
James, no.
No, there is no light coming in at all. Well, we can't go over to the Mendips and go into a cave and switch off the lights. But we've recreated it with this tube here. Right, the tube, which is blocked off at the end. So, David, what can you see when you look through the tube?
Black.
Black. Is it right
down
in
a
cave? I don't know how you go a cave.
Coming from the Neath Valley.
I know, yeah.
Neath Valley is full of caves as well.
It is. Now what can you see?
I can see a light.
See a tiny little light. A little spot. But there's that tiny little light in the darkness. It's enough. So if you were there, and if you were walking, it would be enough for you to focus on to know that that is where you're going to go to. Thank you, David. Oh, well, did you put the sticks up in there? So,
but it's also very interesting, David going caving, but if you've ever been on the canals, and you come to a tunnel, the tunnels are... Most of them are dead straight. Some of them are quite long, and you sort of think, help, how are we going to see? But there's that tiny glimmer of light at the end, which is really quite interesting, because that is what guides you through it.
And quite often when we see light, we used to live in a village called Wenfer, which is just the other side of the channel.
TV aerials or something.
We've got the TV aerial in Wenfer. And when you were driving through the Vale of the Morgan, when you were driving out to Cardiff, you could see how far we were from the village. Whatever the weather conditions were like, because of the red flashing light on the top of the mast. And also, this church, how often at night time do we drive along and drive into Wirral or whatever, and we see the church lit up? We say, oh, the church is on the hill. But actually, it's a wonderful mission to it being on the hill and being lit, because people see it all the time. So, now, we're glorying in the lovely sunshine we're having at the moment. Unfortunately, I probably hope for darkness today, but there we go. So, a tiny, in the dark, a tiny little light will be enough. But of course, there's more than tiny little lights as well, isn't there? We have a tiny little flame like that, or we have a torch. We have a torch, which, goodness knows, how many candlelight the torch is. Much more than the little candle. And then we have, and the torch doesn't have to be very big either, because you can have these wonderful LED torches as well. But you can actually focus the beam on this torch as well. So we've got all different shapes, sizes of light. We say Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is like the biggest light you can ever imagine, the biggest ball of spot or whatever it is, shining out. If all we can do is shine as a little light, in the darkness it is enough. In the darkness of our world it is enough. So we need to shine out. We need to take the light, a bit like the moon, take the light that is shone on us and reflect it out again to the world, to be Jesus' light to the world that we live in now.
And have you got anything to do with this?
Oh, I've got a picture. Oh, right. Oh, now he tells me. I'm just dreaming of this sort of Christmas. But the other thing is actually, as John said, it's only, we have only have a glimmer of light or feel we have in our lives of Christ. But the other interesting thing, I guess David, as he got used to the light, darkness in the caves, you begin to see more light. And if you go through a canal tunnel, the nearer you get to the other end, the greater the light is that's radiating from you. And the closer we walk with Jesus, the greater that light is. But the important thing is, and it's really amazing, is that actually we might think we're absolutely useless and aren't showing the light of Christ in our lives. But often we're not always conscious of it. Other people see glimpses of Jesus in us. And that's something we need to hang on to. It's a bit like on a dark night, or a darkish night, when the stained glass windows are lit up. You can't see through, but you see the people, don't you? The shapes. And that is what we should be doing, even if we're so conscious of it, not aware of reflecting Jesus. And we need just to spend that time, day by day, allowing the salt to create in us that being linked to Jesus, enabling us to grow in Him, and then being light to shine out for us, to allow Jesus' light to shine through us. Is there anything else you want to say?
No, I mean, I am struck always with the quote from C.S. Lewis, who says, I believe in God like I believe in the sun, because I can see it, and by it I can see everything else by it. And that's another big way of thinking about the light, about thinking about God. We can see the light of God, we can see everything else by it. With God, we can be aware of God's presence, and through that presence, we can be aware of everything else that He does.
So we've talked about salt and light, and if you're anything like me, you realise that certainly my inward life is not as salty as it should be. And I certainly don't always show the light of Christ or allow it to flow out to me to others. And so we'll have a moment of quiet and then we'll come to our confession.